Greet you all in Jesus' name. We're thankful to be here with you again, Cornerstone. And I'm thankful for the interaction we have at Pine Creek with the Cornerstone congregation and the way that it developed, that you have a congregation here, and I'm thankful that you do. And I'm glad that we can serve the same Lord and have the same common goal of seeking our Lord and walking with Him. And in us, that we find that it's so needful to have these times together where we constantly remind each other. And many times it's the things that are said and the things that are preached are not really something that we never heard before. And so it's not particularly that it develops an interest of something new, but it's usually the same thing. And because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, it excites and stirs within us the intention and the will to keep on going, and that is somewhat what my message was going to be about this morning. About 2 weeks ago, I just got an idea at my desk on a message that, and I thought about this. I don't always develop a new message from scratch. I have a lot of files. And there's something I can find in there. But I wanted to pursue this. And I knew we were coming to Cornerstone, and I'd soon have a message down there to preach. And so I started pursuing this. And sometimes when I get started on that, I don't know quite where it's going to end up or where I'm going to go, but it's something I feel I need to pursue. And so that's why we come up with a message this morning, and I've been working on that off and on. And then yesterday afternoon, my wife said, you know, tomorrow is Mother's Day. And I sort of thought it's too late for that. But we usually like to, it's not important that it's on that particular day, but we do like to remember. And there was a time I thought, you know, mothers and Mother's Day in America are like apple pie. It's just there. It's something it belongs to a part of us. But here a couple of years ago, I wanted to get a Mother's Day card for my wife. And there's things that developed into the country transgender and what is a mother and who isn't a mother and could a man be a mother and down that line. And I went to Walmart one of the last days before Mother's Day, and I was looking for a Mother's Day card. And I searched all through their cards. There wasn't one Mother's Day card in there that I could find. And then I thought of all this going, I believe it has something to do that they couldn't offend a certain, and maybe this isn't it, but they couldn't offend some certain people in their thinking, and so we take it away altogether. There was a college girl or something around there, and I said, don't they have no Mother's Day cards anymore? Isn't that a popular thing to be anymore? And so I don't know. But I searched them, all them cards. I couldn't find one Mother's Day card. And so maybe it's good we keep reminding ourselves, not only because of all mothers done for us and all they sacrifice, but simply because it's part of God's program, and people seem to think they have better ideas and better inventions sometimes than God's way. And so we do want to continue to remember mothers and all they have done for us. And so this morning, while we want to remember mothers, even though That isn't what my message was particularly about this morning. But as I was thinking, I seemed to settle on a title of Provocative, The Need of Provocative Love. Now, you may wonder what that is. Well, I wanted to look in Hebrews 10, and specifically at verse 24 as a text. And we're going to read from 22 to 26, where it says here in verse 24, and let us provoke one another to, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And so that's what I'm thinking this morning about, the fellowship we have. And it isn't particularly that I thought, well, this is something really Cornerstone needs, you know, in, as you sit in your Sunday school class and hear the discussion and the people and the amount of people taking part. Why, I think you do maybe better than we do. But anyhow, it is something that's needful. Here at the close of our Sunday school lesson, and we're thinking also of devotions, every challenge and the reminder to express our faith, to talk to others. And sometimes maybe it was maybe part of my early upbringing, or the way we think of it as being a Mennonite, is you're seen and not, I mean, you're not heard. You don't have to brag about what you are and what you believe, but yet that's not the way I think we read it in the Word of God. But we are challenged to speak up and say the truth of God's Word. And it's supposed to be something that's in our heart that just wells up within us. And we know we ought to talk to this man something, and the Lord will give us something if we're committed to doing that. But anyway, as we think of the love that we have, now we'll read first at Hebrews 10, verse 22 to 26, where he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that is faithful that, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as he see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And as we think of this, the verse I was going to consider my text was, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The fact that it's speaking in 22 that to draw near to God, and the positive end of being in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus bringing us in with the Father and our relationship with him, and our bodies washed with pure water. It's they had in Old Testament already washing ceremonies. We need to be constantly have the new life, the water of life, and continuously going back to the Word, and again see the cleansing that the Word can do in our life. And then to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And in all this, there's a warning involved in this scripture. One of the, I believe Brother Nelson brought up the fact that we better take this Romans 7 seriously. Sin is around and sin can affect us. And so this is what one of the gifts that the Lord has given us in Jesus Christ, that as a group or as fellow believers, we can come together and remind each other the Word of God and emphasize it. And as we think of this, and the word provoke being in there, and we tend to think usually the way provocation or provoke would be used today is you did something that somebody didn't like and it provoked them or gave an outcome. But looking into this, it's more the thought to excite each other to an increase of love to God and our fellow man. It's to stir us up. We come together. We go to church. Sometimes children may say, "Oh, it's a church again." And sometimes we may be tired. We'd be glad to sit down, you know, prayer meeting time. And I had a rough day and a rough week. And, you know, if I could stay here, the thought may come to us, but hopefully we know we need it. We need to come together. And God made this provision for us for a reason, that we may that we might come together and excite each other, not only cause you to remember, but stir you up to bring a certain amount of excitement into you in the things that we heard again of the Lord and what he's done and the things that are provided for us for our whole life in the Lord Jesus Christ through our relationship with him. And it'll help us in facing temptations of life to be stirred up in that thing. As we think of that a little further in that matter of being excited, that's he says here that one negative example of this provoking one another, we can see in Acts 15:39, when Paul and Barnabas came to a disagreement in something, and the disagreement became so sharp, the contention, that they parted one from another. And I don't think they decided, "Here, I'm never talking to him again." But they decided, "We can't agree on this. I'll go this way and you go this way." Now, you know, I heard discussed already, well, who was right? I don't know if I want to say who was right. The account seems to follow Paul in the scriptures, but the scriptures don't condemn either one. But it was, I don't think it was God's plan that they disagreed, but God used that disagreement to send the gospel out to other places. And sometimes we lament about all the divisions in the Mennonite church, but there can be some good come out, that God can use some good in that we keep spreading out and passing on and giving the message to other places as well. So, but then a positive example is in 2 Chronicles 36, 22. King Cyrus, he was not a Jew. He never had anything into this of Jerusalem and the wall and so on. I think previous king was involved in taking the people out of the land. But the Lord stirred up the heart of King Cyrus to build a temple for these people. Now, Nehemiah possibly and so had their part in it. But the fact was, Cyrus, it caught his attention. It caught his heart. The Lord stirred him. And that's the reason that we come together and that I think of in our worship together, that the Lord would stir us. And we need that stirring. It goes a little beyond just to remember more, or remember something again we tend to forget, but it's to excite us, to cause us to, I want to keep going. This is real. This is the real stuff. And you know, as human beings, how we are at letting slip some of the things we ought to remember and get our priorities mixed up with our life here rather than are pushed forward for the home in heaven and the life that is to come. And so it's from that standpoint we want to think of this, that we don't go for, real emotional meetings that some people would have or some groups would have, or Pentecostal thinking and that. But we don't need a lot of clapping of the hands and marching around to stir our hearts. And that's what we want to do as we come together from time to time, to stir each other up. Putting up, to stir up with consideration. And so there's consideration. We're to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. And so if we consider one another, we see something at one another, or we know something in one of another, in order to consider what is needful. We know, possibly, we don't want to be critical of each other, but we need to consider the need of each other. And so we need to stir up with consideration, not a harsh, sharp, autocratic way, demanding, but it's an opportunity. There is times where we formally, as ministry, may talk to somebody about things, but we're talking of as brethren and sisters, one like another. We know each other, and so we're to stir up, not with harsh and sharp autocratic way, but consider each other's trials and difficulties and weaknesses. If we constantly are in contact and know each other, we can sense certain weaknesses in somebody else. And or we may sense, or they may tell you sometimes, the trial that they're struggling with and the difficulties they may have, and to remember them in prayer, and then we can pray for one another, and we can confess our faults one to another, if the situation would indicate that. But the fact is that we need to recognize, and we will know something of each other in order to consider each other to love and good works. And so we need to think of our brethren and sisters together, and the weaknesses that they have, and feel for each other, resulting in fruitful and good works, and to bring others into the kingdom as well. John 13:35 says, "By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." If you love one another, the people are going to see that we are the disciples of the Lord when we love each other. Romans 15:7, "Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ received us." Receive them, accept others, and receive one another. "Wherefore comfort yourselves," 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Bringing us again to the thought of sensing the need in each other, opening our hearts to each other, and asking others for prayers if the need is there, and being ready to pray for others as well. And so we come together to work together, and we live together in a certain sense, so we follow the Lord. And so Romans 4:19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." And so we're to follow the things that are peaceful. We don't, if we value somebody's friendship, we don't do things that'll push their buttons on purpose. You know what I mean by that? And you know this is something that he's sensitive about, and so I'll probe around in that. You can wait if it's a problem that he has. You can, he may open up to you, but you don't try to make sport out of seeing if you can provoke a little. It's not that kind of provoking. It's a kind of provoking that stirs us up to be a benefit and a help to another. And then the Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We don't always meet each other daily, but if and when we meet, why continue to do that? It's an encouragement even during the week if you meet in business, as just say a phrase for the Lord. You know, the Lord's coming back soon, or whatever, to stir our minds into the things of God. And so we exhort each other. The Bible speaks of exhorting, and it gives the exhorting gives the same thought to promote, to cause us to stir up each other. And so we exhort when it fits, and we exhort when it don't. Sometimes you need to just, it's well to just make it fit. And then Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Rather, our love should become, I think of the word vehement. Now, maybe that's a reach, but that we are really interested in our love for our brethren and interested in the thoughts and needs that they may have. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue, to let it continue on. And then it speaks also in that Romans, in that Hebrews 10:24, that is to provoke unto love and to good works. And we think of good works, not for salvation, not works we do to earn our salvation, but a working out of what is inside. We work out, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we let that work out in our lives. We don't earn our salvation. However, works do come involved, and sometimes we tend to think of tradition and works as, no, that's anti-Christian almost. And yet the Bible doesn't picture it that way. Paul said to follow the traditions which he taught them. Now we know that we have, or people have already come in bondage to their own man's rules and tradition. We see that in the scribes and Pharisees, and church life has sometimes come to that as well. However, there is the need that we need to work out when we come to Jesus Christ. If we're doing works before the Lord to earn our salvation, or at any time try to earn our salvation, but when the Lord is in and changed our heart, there's something in there that he calls to work out. He tells us to do good works. He did good works, and he wants us to do good works as well. Things that are beneficial to others, and things that we do in service to God, that we need to keep on following him. 1 Corinthians 13:13 would speak of faith, hope, and charity, as we think of the charity verse there. The last verse in 1 Corinthians 13 is, it speaks of, now we have faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is love, or charity. And so that would be the challenge that that we could face. Then we see in First John 3:16-18, there's some verses there I'd like to look at, where he Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, that is not love in word, neither in deed, not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and sure our hearts before him. And so as we look at this where he speaks of the, we see the love of God because we see Jesus' love and God's love. And then he goes on to say that about that we have this world's goods, the things we have had, and sharing one another in the congregation. And we have a brotherhood assistance that is a good thing and done in a more formal way, that we lift offerings and it's distributed to those in need. But it shouldn't really stop there. If it's within our heart, why, to see our brother's need, and we appreciate it many times where we see the kindness and helpfulness that brethren and sisters have reached out to the need of others and to help them in their time of need. And so that's one of the things of the good works that God is, we're to steer ourselves up in them. And so we're to do this freely, cheerfully, and constantly. That Hebrews 25 then speaks of where we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's right in after our text word there, where he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. But exhorting one another is the part I missed. And so much the more as he see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord. And so this scripture here with it has the thought of we need to be alert. We need to be careful. Sin is always trying to come in the way. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, and the Lord is looking for a commitment to us. And there may various things come into our life. We may fail sometimes. We may sin sometime. But the Lord is looking for a commitment that if this should happen, we turn back and we know repent of it, and we know the Lord is there to help us to be what he wants us to be. And so we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We see that we have that responsibility to come together, and we realize at times that sometimes people are sick, sometimes people can't go away, but not to easily bypass prayer meeting or Sunday morning service, because there's attractions otherwise that we would rather face. But we have to continue to urge others to be faithful. And we see already at this time, there were some people that already were failing to see their need of continuing to assembling together. And there's people come to the place sometimes where they don't see the need of church. They don't see the need of brotherhood. But we have the Spirit of God, and God is going to direct me in my own way sometimes. rather than seeing that they do need a brotherhood where we come together and we have common goals and common views in mind, and that we understand that what the purpose is or where we're going with what we believe, rather than each working out his own experiment as he sees the Lord would have him to do, and where he thinks the Lord would have him to do, but being part of a brotherhood, rather than once we don't feel the need of a brotherhood, it'll be easy to miss church because we can go out in the woods and worship, we can stay at home and worship, and a lot of things like that. But we'll bypass the need that we have for us to speak together, to think together, and excite each other into the faith to continue on. Hebrews 10:26 then refers to plant sinning, that some that were falling back, having been Christians, to help each other forgetting not ministering the word to each other, as topics Sunday school preachers preaching to exhort, and then he speaks of then in 26, we have received the knowledge of the truth. If we receive willfully, after receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. The covenant that we have taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we reject that we don't need that anymore, there is no other covenant. The only way is to repent and come back to that which we are despising. And some people never make that happen because they have despised that which was good, and they have failed to, they need to come back in repentance. Sometimes, as we think of the Word of God, churches are started up, church movements are started up, and people get a vision, and we have, and they have good fellowship. Sometimes the second or third generation may come along, and somehow they failed to catch the vision of what real need is or what real fellowship is. And distracting interests and worldly interests can enter in, and we are thankful for second and third generation Christians, and I believe there are a lot of them. But God doesn't have grandchildren. He calls for a response for each one, no matter what our parents were or what our parents done, and what stands they took for truth. We need to develop within our heart the same kind of conviction. He loses the conviction and conscience of their parents. And that's one thing where tradition can come in. Where if we have a certain form, but a certain goal of what we believe, and we have maybe written down as to what we call degrees or some call standards, in which this is what we agree on, the basic principles and so on, and the next generation doesn't quite catch the vision for a time. You know, we grow at different levels. The younger generation doesn't have perhaps the spiritual growth that they need yet. And it's an area where what we have believed and what our standards, our degrees say, can be in somewhat they can follow until the time their heart catches up and they realize that they need a change of heart, and there are things they need to change here. And they begin to develop the convictions themselves that the Word of God would give us. And so don't throw tradition all away as anti Jesus Christ or anti-God. The disciples and the Pharisees and the scribes did that. They made their views or their beliefs more important. They added to God's word with things and did away. What they added to it did away, and it was rather designed to go around a sacrifice that I had made by following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they made ways around it. And so there is a time when traditions and things need to look at as, so are they still applicable? But tradition can have a good part. Every people develops their own culture. No matter where you go in the world, any kind of people develop their own culture. We don't eat with chopsticks here. We went to knife, fork, and spoon. But there may be some people that would eat real successfully with chopsticks, but they're the different culture. And so I think Mennonite culture is not all wrong. Yes, there's some things we say, well, that's just culture. And to some extent, that's true. But can culture be a benefit for us as raising families to direct our children in until the time when they can have a changed heart and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And so it's a challenge that I think of as for myself as well. So we have a need of the ministry of the word, that it teaches us that Romans 10:8 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need the word of God to teach us. We need the ministry of the word. We need to read the Bible. The Lord gave us the Bible and we need to read it. And Luke 6:45 tells us that it's out of the abundance of our heart the mouth speaketh. The mouth speaks out of our heart. And so we need a changed heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so it does come down to, like people say sometimes, well, it's all that matters is what's in our heart. That's not all that matters. What's in our heart and what we do with what's in our heart matters as well. And so God did cause us to call us to respond to the word of God and to follow him. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Taken from Proverbs 4:23, that we're to keep our heart, and that's part of fellowshipping, coming together, and reading the word of God. Our devotion to the Lord would enter in there, our thoughts, emotions, and desires, and our will enter into what is in our heart. But the Lord has called us to a commitment to follow him. And so it's important to keep our heart. And also, ministering of the word gives light to understanding. Then 2 Peter 1:15-21, there were some verses I like to look at there where verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That And then he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you, they should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. As we think of this, the word gives us light. It gives us understanding. Speaks here in verse 15 then. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be after my decease to have these things in remembrance, always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Speaking of the time when Peter was with was up on the Holy Mount, and they were eyewitnesses of Jesus' majesty when God said, this is my beloved Son, that they were to hear him. And they heard that voice from heaven. But we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And so that's a thought I'm thinking of some way. Day star, we're part of the Day Star Conference, we say. And from this verse is where that name Day Star came from. And it's referring to the bright and morning star. We see in Psalms, I believe, that the day star rising in your heart is referring to Jesus Christ, till he comes into your heart. And having a certain pattern of life that we follow until that time comes, or till that time, can be real beneficial to a church life, that we have something that we can go by. And so we need to stir up our understanding. Also then we want to think of the ministry of hearts brings about grace within our hearts, in which we, I read a verse this morning, I believe it was in John 3, that in Jesus Christ is the fullness of grace. And we need to sometimes have our grace stirred up, that in order that whatever God would call us to do, he will always supply the perfect measure of grace, that he gives grace to us in a measure. In him is the fullness of the Spirit. But he measures out his grace to us, and he doesn't give it out. He gives it out according to need at times, and not an overabundance. And we could look at Ephesians 4 and 11 to 15 in that. But each one gets the measure of grace is determined by the Lord's will for what he wants us to do. If you're facing a special need or a struggle in life, he measures out the grace, what he wants you to have. And he doesn't give you all the grace that he has, but a measure by what he wants you to do. The work that he has for you, the issue that you face, he measures out a measure of his grace to you. And also then, that the measure may also be determined as how well we facilitate the use of what he gives us. How well do we use the grace that he gives us? We can restrict or clog or block that freedom of grace that he wants to give us, or the amount he wants to give us, because we don't use what he gave us. And then he will not, to whom much is given, the same God expects much. We think of the talents there as well, that some did not use their talents wisely, and then they lost, and those that used them got more. They got more abilities. They got more to work with. And so your grace that God is going to measure to you may somewhat depend on how well you're using what he gave you. Because the problem many times with us as Christians is that we are failing to not so much to not know as to not do what we know that we ought to do. We're failing to do that, and for that reason, we need to constantly come together and be challenged to excite each other, to press on. There's temptations around. People are losing the way. Many people are going to miss heaven and find hell. And what are we doing? Are we using God's word as he has given us, and using it for ourselves, our homes and families, and exciting each other to press on? Let's kneel for prayer.